Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
Hey, everybody listening out there. We are still in self-isolation. So once again, we want to give a little disclaimer that if you hear dogs barking, Ashley, or computer typing, or if you hear any background noise, please forgive us. It is the season of life we're living in. But we don't want this season of life to slow us down from producing great episodes of the Almost Famous podcast. Ashley, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. We have a very awesome guest, a big one, huge. Ann is on the podcast. And from the 2 minutes that we got to briefly talk to her, I was like, oh, I kind of like this girl. You have great vibes, Hannah.
Oh, well, good. Well, thank you guys for having me. I was really excited to be here.
It's great, Hannah. You know, we were just talking before you came on about how, well, really the podcast world has taken over a lot of media in the last couple of years. Ashley and I are, I don't know how many, what is it going on, like 3.5 years of doing this thing. We've gotten to talk to a lot of the fan favorites coming off the show. It's always fun for us, and that's why these in-depth episodes were started, to get to know the fan favorites a little bit better, to get to dive into who you are as a person, and then also what the show meant to you holistically and how it affected you. But a little background here. Hannah Ann is from Knoxville, Tennessee. She was on Peter Weber's season of The Bachelor. They were engaged at the end of the season after Madison walked away from the competition. It was revealed on the live after the final row show, they had ended their engagement. However, a little note here is to remember that Hannah Ann was always Peter's mom's favorite. But before all of this craziness started, she was a former beauty pageant contestant and finished as first runner-up in the 2015 Miss Tennessee Teen USA competition and in 2018 Miss Tennessee USA competition. Hey, the final thing is we got to give a little shout-out here to Chris Lane. Because we all know that we have a connection with Chris Lane somehow, some way, and you're in his I Don't Know About You music video. So Hannah Ann, once again, welcome to the Almost Famous In-Depth podcast.
True. Thank you so much for having me. That's so funny about Chris Lane. I now I'm just making that.
Isn't that funny? A lot of Bachelor connections with Chris. All right. So Hannah, tell us about just your childhood, how... You know, where were you born? How many siblings do you have? Are your parents still together?
Yeah. So I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm the oldest. My dad is a forester. My mom's a teacher. I have a younger brother, Wade, and a younger sister, Haley. So me and my brother, we're only 18 months apart. And then my sister, she's about 5 years younger than me. So I grew up like in Knoxville, like it's definitely more like a smaller town. I grew up like more conservatively. My parents have been married for over 26 years. And so really like me even doing something like the show was like wild to them, because in the South, like you get married young and like, it's very, through like the community I grew up in, it was very cookie cutter, you know, like this is kind of what you do. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I've always kind of been like a wild card in the sense of just wanting to like always do something different. And so really like growing up, it was just like, whenever I was able to travel, it was just like to the beach, like once a year. So that's really how I got into modeling, is because I wanted to travel and like see the world and like see like different ways to live and different views of life and just everything. Cause I kind of grew up like a little bit in a bubble. So that's kind of like my upbringing, which is completely different than the path I've chosen.
Yeah, you know, I can relate in a lot of ways though. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, Hannah Ann, your family stood out to me, and I watch, most of the episodes every season. It's part of, it helps me with this and then it helps us dissect. But, I sometimes skip around on the first episode. Ashley knows this. I just don't love the first episode of any season, 'cause I just feel like it's long. But your family stood out to me. One is because it felt like a family that I, you know, would understand, a more conservative family, one that has a really beautiful life. You know, have done the right, tried to make decisions to stay on a very clear path, coming from Indiana. That is not something that is not unknown to me. It's how I grew up. But I also know then the effects of all of a sudden calling, or just really not even your family, 'cause they might understand, but, going on a show, shaking life up to the degree that you did and having to respond to that, to your family, but your hometown. Hannah, I want to start this podcast with this question because it's one that I have felt deeply. How was your worldview, or and to explain that, how did going on to the show, how you viewed the world, and then after doing the show and after moving to LA and all these things, how has your view of the world changed after being in that conservative environment for so long?
Yeah, it's like growing up in a conservative environment. You know, I was around a lot of people who viewed and lived life all the same way. And so I was able to see peaks of it when I was traveling with work, and I lived in like, and I lived in different places before. But really through the show, it gave me the opportunity to really understand the importance of getting to know someone and not just judging them right off the bat. Because when you get to know someone and their background, you're able to see this is why they respond this way. And so I think my appreciation just for people and just like take, even if I'm not like someone's biggest fan, just appreciating them, like their qualities. That's like where my view of the world and people have changed, is just taking the time to get to know someone, because then you'll have a better understanding, especially their background. When you really get to know someone, and like the, maybe the trials that they've been through, you're able to have a better perspective on who they are and ultimately appreciate them more.
So, I mean, and I think a lot of your story, Hannah, is one that we didn't get to see a lot of. Ashley and I, I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not, but we were critical at times of this season because we felt like there was some great contestants at the beginning, but very little character development. We didn't feel like we got to know you ladies as well as what we have on previous seasons. One of the things that became a theme later on in this season was the topic of faith. And I believe I remember your family speaking to that during the very first episode, is kind of your faith and how important it was to you. Am I wrong? Is that true?
Right. Yes, that's true.
So and this isn't really even a question that I had even prepped to ask, but it makes me, I'm intrigued now after hearing your upbringing, hearing kind of how much it shook life a bit, hearing the lessons you learned. As you watch kind of Madison's story playing out during the show, and then also after watching it back, do you ever wish you would have that your story of faith would have been told more? Were you kind of on her team? How did you analyze that situation? You guys might have different, you know, beliefs when it comes to physical intimacy and those things. That's not, you know, what I'm asking. I'm saying just when it comes to how outspoken she was about her faith and how outspoken at the beginning you were about yours, what was that environment like when you're in the show and then watching it back?
Right. I think watching back the show, you only see like blippets of me. And I think that was probably the most frustrating part, is that there wasn't a lot of getting to know me and more of like my character and my intent of why I was there. So I did speak with Peter. I remember in Cleveland, it was our conversations. It was like, it was right after the football game. So it was supposed to be like the VIP party. And it was like when we were still getting to know each other, and we had a very serious conversation. I'm like, hey, this is my faith. This is how I live my life. Like, let's see if our lifestyles match up. And I was very upfront with him about that. And we felt like we had that emotional, spiritual connection, and we were going to see how that grew. So I was, you know, I would have loved for my faith, which is a huge part of me, to be shown more on the show. But that was really how me and Madison, like, that was where our friendship was, you know, founded on, was because we both had faith, and or we both shared we both shared similar lifestyle. You know, we're both Christians. We definitely both live our lives a little differently, but that was where we bonded. And so it was kind of untraditional to be in this scenario on a TV show where you're dating someone that's dating multiple people. And I definitely struggled with that, but I also knew, you know, I always kind of went back to what my parents always taught me, and like, love is about acceptance and forgiveness and being unconditional. And that's kind of always where that's what kept me in it with Peter, is, you know, how I viewed love, which is being unconditional.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Going off of what Ben asked you, I feel like here in the 12 minutes that we've been recording and in the final couple episodes, we finally got to see you. We're like, oh, this is Hannah. I like her, but I didn't know her for the past 11 weeks. This is frustrating. Do you think that possibly your storyline went that way because they wanted us to feel more of an attachment to Madison and then be more surprised when Peter ends up proposing to you?
That is a really good theory. I mean, when I was watching, you know, the first couple episodes, I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, oh, it, you know, it definitely was disheartening because I knew I was going to, you know, be given like the wrong impression of me, but I knew how the season would end, and that was when I was with Peter, so I knew how the season would end. And unfortunately, even how it ended, you guys weren't able to see a lot of our very serious conversations me and Peter had, so it kind of seemed like our proposal came out of the blue. Like, wait, like that came out of nowhere.
So the first episode aired, and you got to see what you came across like then, yeah, you were still engaged to Peter.
Yes, I was.
Okay, so about what week into this us watching did you and Peter have that conversation that we saw aired at the end?
It was right after Cleveland. So that would have been Costa Rica.
So that is interesting. That almost disqualifies my theory.
Well, you know, it's interesting too, Ashley, and as I hear from Hannah Ann here, and Hannah Ann, please, Ashley and I are fully able to be criticized and critiqued here. So you can tell us you guys are off wildly. But one of the things that one of the biggest injustices, I think, to Peter, which he's dealing with now, and also probably to you, Hannah Ann, is that when he did propose to you, it was a shock, at least to me personally. I can't speak for all the fans, but it was like, whoa, that was shock. And it almost felt like, well, Madison left, so I'm just going to pick Hannah Ann. And I mean, I say that, like, I know this is like, I've been on this thing. Like, I know that there's real feelings, real emotions. Like, I know there's a depth to this stuff. Like, Hannah Ann, I'm not trying to discredit your relationship with Peter.
Oh, not at all.
But I do think it has been an injustice to him and probably to you, because all of us just assumed, like, well, he just did what he had to do because he was the only one left. When you're saying, no, this like wasn't a shock to you. Like, you knew you had something special. Like, there is a realness to your relationship. Do you just mind leaning into that a little bit and explaining to the listeners and to Ashley and I, so we maybe get a better perspective of how real your relationship was with Peter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't have been there, or I wouldn't have shown up I didn't see a future with him. I think, you know, I would have loved to, for, you know, viewers to have seen, you know, his bond with my family more and my bond with his family, because obviously, you know, that was very strong because everyone was able to see, you know, Barb's support towards me, which also viewers are probably like, where is that coming from? But we all just, you know, our families and us too at that time felt like we were the perfect fit for one another. We really just, you know, for us, we just accepted one another. And, you know, kind of my perspective on the whole Bachelor, you know, being with him was after the season ended, this is where we truly begin. And whatever happened on the show is in the past. And really just keeping the big picture in mind and focusing on our goals for one another and our goals as a couple. I'm really building that. And we had a lot of those very serious conversations leading up to our engagement. So obviously watching the season, I'm able to have a clearer perspective of why things ended, but also there was a lot, you know, of our moments missing that would have maybe opened people's eyes to how strong our connection was during the show. And even after, because we had happy couples as well. So,
how many happy couple weekends did you have?
We had,
the show made it seem like that was your first.
No, okay. No, about three. About okay. Three. Yeah.
So why
were those healthy for you?
Yeah.
Like, were they good?
the happy couples.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every happy couple was happy until the last one. Then it became unhappy.
So what was it that happened before that happy couple weekend? Because it was very strange. It was like all of a sudden you guys had some conversation, and that's why I think the audience assumed that was the first happy couple weekend you had, and the first time you were seeing Peter since finding out that Madison had left the show. But that you knew that Madison left right after you got engaged?
I found out after we got engaged.
And how did you take that information? Did you feel at all like you could have been second place in that situation?
I knew deep down, I knew I was in some trouble because it was going to be difficult to overcome that, you know, we're kind of starting off, you know, we have the pressure of all the viewers judging us as a couple and then this situation. But we were committed to working it through, and you know, I had said yes and made that commitment, and I was excited and hopeful and in love, and you know, I'm not a dummy, you know, if I'm not going to be with someone who doesn't want to be with me. So he was giving me the words of affirmation that I needed to make me feel chosen and first, and that we were going to make this work. Plus we had both of our families support as well. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not just going to say yes and then say peace out. You know, I just found out about Madison leaving. That wasn't what I was going to do, you know?
So then what was that fight about going into that happy couple weekend?
So what had happened between, like, you know, our engagement, our last happy couple, we had not seen each other for a month. And in the between that month, the season started. And so that was where things started to surface. And honestly, you know, Peter's not a mean person. I think he was honestly just trying to, it was new to him, and he was trying to figure out exactly what was going on and within his own self, and had trouble communicating with that. He had trouble communicating with that with me. And I think that's what kind of, I think that's what kind of made the situation worse, is that he had trouble, you know, completely being truthful. But I think it went back to, he just wasn't quite sure what was going on within his own self. Hmm.
That's an interesting thing to sit on though for a sec. I mean, we've Ashley and I explain it often, is this world gets like it's a whirlwind oftentimes. It feels like you're turning in circles trying to figure out what's happening, while at the same time you believe or you think you have these certain emotions and love for another human, which you probably and usually do, but it's hard to navigate in the midst of the chaos that is just a whole new world. As you said, I mean, at the very beginning when we opened this up, you said, hey, I came from like a conservative town where people get married early on in life, and like it's a pretty clear approach, and people move forward in the only way they know how, which is typically how their parents have done it. And again, I say that with this, like with the ability to relate, like I understand what you're saying there. So then say, for example, like a you or a Peter or a Madison, or whoever else goes on the show, gets thrown onto this show, and it's a new environment for everybody, especially those of us who have very rarely had our worlds like shaken and rocked. And it's hard to navigate. Like, it's chaos, and it feels like chaos. One of the things I just want to get clarity here is one of the topics that was written into us, wanting to get a little more information on, or how you felt about it. And if you don't, if at any point here you're like, hey, this hurts too much, I don't want to talk about it, that's fine. Just say it. But during the proposal, Peter brought up Madison's name during it and had kind of like hinted at, hey, she's gone. Did you know then? Was it just like you were confused? Knowing what he was trying to say and communicate to you, does that feel weird? Like, it was super critical or criticized. I want to hear from you on like on what you think.
Yeah. How do I answer this? In that moment, that wasn't very clear to me, you know, like it. So leading up to that day, you know, I did not know she had left. You know, we had our like last chance date where we were able to sit down and like talk. And, you know, the only thing I heard was my heart's being torn in two different directions. I didn't know that meant my other half of my heart's in Auburn, Alabama. And I've watched The Bachelor before. Like, that's very, you know, that's a common thing to say, is my heart's been torn in two different directions. And so leading up to the proposal day, you know, you're in the moment and, you know, I'm shaking. I just got done with my proposal speech, and that was very much putting me on the spot to where we weren't able to like sit down and have a conversation like this. Hey, kind of like, how's your week really going? Like, what have you really gone through? Like, let's have this conversation. And, it's like what I told him at after the final rose, my instincts would have picked up on that you weren't ready, you know? And so for me, I think one of the most painful parts was seeing, you know, that last episode and seeing how torn and upset he was when I'm walking, and then it flips to me walking down to, you know, getting engaged, and I'm like so naive and thinking, not even understanding what all had happened. And I think that's the most hurtful part, is that he wasn't, you know, didn't have like enough like respect for me to sit me down and just to really like lay it all out there and just work through it, you know. But you know, he got lost in the moment and with his emotions.
If he had pulled you aside then and said, hey, Hannah Ann, I just think I should tell you this before we get engaged, Madison left, Would that have changed anything?
Yeah, it would have changed a lot because it wouldn't have just been an answer yes or no. It would have been like, let's sit down, like, let's recap, like, how you felt leading up to her leaving, how you feel now. I think deep down he knows that there would have been some, like, difficult, you know, questions. And, for whatever reason, he just wasn't ready to let me go.
The crazy thing is he knew that there were going to be difficult questions before propose. Like if he were to tell you that beforehand, it would have been difficult and you would have like pressured him into talking about a lot. Right. But yeah. The weird thing is Peter wasn't thinking like, oh, if I save this information for later, the question's going to be even more difficult and it's going to be even harder to prove.
Yes, exactly. It's going to even be harder and stickier. And it's one thing. I mean, it was always watered down. It was always like he speaks in half truths, or with us, he spoke in half truths. And it was always like the watered down, sugar coated version that he wanted me to hear because he knew that I was with him at this point, you know? And so it was really painful having to like watch it all and like see it for what it actually was and not from what he was telling me.
It's one of Peter Hannan, just from like my perspective. It's been years since I've done this. So, I mean, I could be out of date. I don't know how you guys do it these days. But it is like, I know Peter. We're going to speak with Peter about his experience as well. But it is one of the things that I will tell him is not, like, I know him. He is not a bad man. Like, he has no ill intentions. I think his biggest mistake is he was trying to protect himself, his family, you, and the girls, and he was speaking, like you said, not lies, but half-truths. He was leaving a lot out there unknown. You just can't do that when your life is also being videotaped. Like, you can't, when everybody else is going to watch it back, and the full truth is going to be brought, it makes you look like you're trying to lie, even though you're not. And that, I think, was one of the things that got him and has gotten him in the most trouble. It's like, hey, if you just start telling the truth, people will listen because you're not a bad person. You just are not explaining the full story, like bad communication.
Yes, yes. And I think maybe that's a quality he has, but in this situation of being the bachelor, it just it brought it out even more and it brought it to the surface. And, when we were together, I always tried to, even throughout the show and afterwards, I always tried to put myself in his shoes and, you know, place him first in that sense. And I think that's what kept us going as a couple longer than what we should have, is because I always tried to like show, you know, that compassion of, you know, your situation was so difficult. You're coming off of the show. You're still working through your emotions. And I think he was doing that as well. You know, he couldn't quite put a finger on why exactly he was feeling, or why his feelings and his own words were like out of control. Cause just pointing the fingers towards different things. And I never really truly got like that, like, answer. I had to like find out watching the show after the final rose, when I found out him and Madison were back together, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, we'll go back to that, but I do want to let you know that I think the level of compassion you had for him was very evident during your breakup scene.
Yeah,
I was like, wiping away his tears. Of course, that wasn't shown, but I was like, wiping away his tears. It was so sad, you guys.
It was so evident how much you were fighting for that relationship and how you were just like forgiving and forgiving him. I want to ask you one more question about your proposal. You did seem a little bit shocked that it was you. Like, I don't know. I don't remember the last time that I saw somebody on The Bachelor be like, wait, it's me? You're picking me? So did you think he was going to pick Madison?
Honestly, like... okay, I promise myself,
and it's sweet and cute and sort of like relatable, and it makes me feel like you're very you're just like not full of yourself. You're like, oh, like I really didn't, I don't know, like
okay, well, I, you know, like seeing people getting like engaged on The Bachelor in the past, I told myself, I was like, I'm, if I get engaged, I'm not going to laugh, because when it just seems like you're making a joke out of it. And so in the moment, I was so nervous. I was just like, oh my gosh, it's me. It's me. I was just like, I was so silly. No, like my sister watched that. My sister was like, what the heck? Like, that was the weirdest reaction ever. And I'm like, honestly, when you have all these cameras around you and you're stressed and you're just like, you're finally finished with like the season and you finally hear from the person you're completely in love with that they love you, like, it's something to like be jumping up and down for. So excited. I guess I was surprised, but after I was with his family, I felt so strongly it was going to be us.
It is true. Ashley, you say that, and I remember going back and watching that, and all of us kind of going, like, especially how the proposal was set up. We're like, this is shocking. And it felt, I think our last like episode that we like talked about, we're like, that felt almost like oddly not like a proposal. And we know it was, Hannah Ann. We're going to hear why that was such a real proposal. We want to hear from you on, in your eyes, in your opinion, what went wrong. And then also, how are you recovering today, here in a little bit? But before we do, let's take a break, and we'll come back with Hannah Ann and on the Almost Famous In-Depth podcast.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that's so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you feel like you just need to get something off your chest, whether it's work, family, relationships, we all carry around different stressors all day, big and small. When we bottle up those stressors, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's been weighing you down.
Therapy's always been a benefit in my life. It's something that my wife and I do as a couple. It's also something I do personally. If nothing else, it's a great place to just release whatever is going on internally. It's a place where you can feel less alone. Therapy allows you to be the best version of yourself, which, obviously, life is short, and so the more we can be the better versions of ourselves, the better this whole thing is for us and the people around us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/almost today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/almost.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit, and it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
We're back with Hannah Ann. Hannah Ann, I want to pause halfway through this podcast because there's just something that hit me, and I don't know if it's the right question right now or not. But we sit here and we're talking to you, and we're hearing your upbringing. We're hearing about your family, and we're hearing about your emotions, and we're hearing how much sympathy and empathy you have for Peter. Ashley and I sit there as the host now. We've been removed from the show for a while, but we don't forget how it feels. And I just, like, it just hit me as I was listening to you and being like, Hannah Ann, this is your life. Like, what you're speaking to us about right now is not just a show, not just a show you participated in, not just an experience that we can share and talk about with our kids in 40 years. Like, you were engaged. You were heartbroken. Like, you went through the ups and downs of this whole experience. We're not that far removed from it. Like, as you just sit to us, not in like answering questions about the show, we'll get back to that in a second, but just like in general, that this is now your life. And this is like how interested we are in just hearing your story. How does that feel? Like, how are you processing that right now?
Yeah, I've worked through a lot of like different emotions. I think now I'm kind of like feeling a little bit more back on my feet. And it's like the other day I was walking with my friends and I was on a walk and I just felt so much happiness. And I was looking at my friends. I'm like, you know, we have fresh air. I'm with my friends. And I thought, wow, I haven't cried in weeks. Like, that was just strange to me. Like, I had not cried in weeks. And it made me sad, not over Peter, but I started crying in that moment because I was thinking about how broken I was and how terrible of a position I felt I was in, you know, being with Peter and just leading up to the breakup. I mean, I would cry for like hours. Like one time I cried for 6 hours straight just because of just the anticipation of crying about what's happened and crying about like, this is a part of my story. Like this is a part of my life. And just knowing that would always like be a part of me, like really broke me. And knowing that there would be like the whole world having to know about it and have their opinion on it and feel like that they know the situation. And then you have the season going on and you're seeing just bits and pieces of it. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like everyone just, you know, will kind of feel like they're a part of it when they really truly aren't, you know, only me and Peter truly. And I think it was also really hard. I didn't realize the impact it would have on my family because it made a huge impact. Like my personal life has been with my family now. You know, they're able to see it. You know, Peter brought, you know, my dad into it asking, you know, for my hand in marriage. And it, you know, my family was heartbroken as well. Like this is real life. And a lot of people got entertainment out of it. And, you know, I guess, you know, obviously that's what I signed up for, but it's my heart and my life and what I'm carrying forward.
When your dad told Peter not to say I love you unless he really, really meant it. And the way that your dad said it made me feel like, don't say it unless, like, you know it's her, that you're going to pick her. And at that moment, Jared was like, he better pick her. Like, I am rooting for Hannah Ann all the way now because, like, this man better keep his word to this father. And, well, he did. He proposed to you. But then he went and kind of wasted that first engagement moment, which was something that, like, a lot, I think the females in the audience were just like, ugh. Oh, I took that away from her. The first in what somebody hopes is your only proposal. How does your dad feel about him now? And how are you feeling better these days about all that? Or
yeah, you know, when my dad was talking with Peter, like, don't waste a word. Yeah. You know, the backstory behind that is my dad was telling Peter about kind of my upbringing and, like, you know, the family I was raised in and how marriage and engagement and words are just are so important. And so don't ever, you know, and that's kind of where it came in with Fantasy Suite Week. Like, I've always had this, you know, this side of not pressuring anyone to do or say anything. And that's kind of where my dad was like, you know, don't say anything because you're feeling pressured because of the show or because you're in the moment. If you're going to say something, mean it and follow through with it. And, you know, Peter saying, I love you, Peter, you know, getting engaged to me, even afterwards, you know, he had conversations with my parents about, you know, making sure to make me feel loved and chosen in first place every single day. And, you know, he gave me those words of affirmation that kept me hopeful and kept me with him. And so it was a huge disappointment for my parents. I mean, they were heartbroken as well. I think the main thing my dad says is he was like, I tried to protect you. Like, I tried, you know, I did everything that I could, but also, you know, I put my trust in Peter, who I really didn't know quite well, but I put my trust in him. And, you know, this has happened. And I think my dad was, you know, so heartbroken because he felt like he didn't maybe necessarily do his part in, like, protecting me.
The one thing I can relate here on is that season of in between. You know, you and I share some similar stories in a way, right? There wasn't another person in my story, but there was a broken engagement. There was a broken relationship that was publicly displayed. There was family pain involved. I have now been able to heal, right? I want to promise you that if any pains and brokenness inside of you right now, like, it's going to heal. You're going to be very happy one day. You know, I'm now engaged and just thriving, I guess. But in the heat of it and in the heart of that season, it's hard. It's confusing. It's heavy. And so there's a lot there to unpack, Hannah, and because there's, in my eyes, in my, like, just thinking back, there's three elements. One is knowing that it's about to end, like getting the sense that something is desperately wrong. I remember that. Two is the ending, like the Band-Aid being ripped off, knowing that it's over. And three, at least in this show, in this experience, is the public getting brought into this breakup and their opinions, their dislike towards maybe Peter, their criticism of possibly you, their criticism of Peter's family, of then the celebration of you, the celebration of Peter, the celebration of Peter's family. Like, all those elements are tied up into this. And it makes it extremely hard and difficult and heavy for a season. So if we could start at point number one, when did you start to know that things were falling apart?
Falling apart. It was about 2 weeks before we broke up. I just had a sense that it was just going to be extremely difficult to work through this. And he was giving me, you know, and the thing is the most important thing I learned is that, like, when I'm with someone, I need to allow them to show me who they are, not tell me. Because, you know, with me, mine and Peter's timeline, he was just able to tell me who he is and not show me, because we didn't have that much time. And then when we were separated, you know, he was living in California, I was still in Tennessee. So he wasn't able to, like, truly show me that, only through his words. And he's very good with his words And I love, like, I'm a words of affirmation kind of a person. So he was just able to send me his words to keep me in this. And I think that's probably what, like, did us the most damage, because I feel like if we were living close or were able to see each other more, maybe I would have, or we both would have been able to pick up on that we weren't good for one another. But he just, you know, continued giving me words of affirmation like he said he would. I did the same. And so when we were able to, like, truly have these serious conversations about the season, it was just so, like, all over the place and so confusing. And, like, he kept giving me the words of affirmation to keep me there. But at the same time, I'm like, who do I go to? Like, I need advice. Like, I need to talk to someone who's been in this situation. And I couldn't. Like, I was on my own. I didn't tell anyone because I didn't want to bring anyone into this mess. And then also have the contract of ABC. I can't open up to anyone. I was just, like, inside, just, like, begging just for someone that I can go to and just be like, what do I do? Am I, you know? And I always kind of put it back on me. Like, am I not being supportive enough? Am I not being understanding? And it was just a mess for both of us, because he had some people to reach out to, but he was lost still.
It's interesting. You were, like, isolated before isolation was something we all had to do. Like, you were completely isolated.
Yeah. I couldn't share my emotions, I felt like, with anyone, because, and that's why the season went unspoiled for the longest time, is because most of the time it gets, like, you know, it gets broken out through, like, whoever, you know, ends up with the Bachelor, Bachelorette. But I made that commitment not to say anything. So,
wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, I didn't want everyone to be like, well, you ruined the season because you told your friend, and your friend, you know, had a fun night at a bar and told someone. Like, I never wanted that on me. Like, I never wanted more criticism, you know?
It's cool and hard, though. Yeah, like, right, Ash?
I know. Like, I was going to say that. That's, like, the weirdest word that came to my head. It's
all right.
It was cool for us to watch an unspoiled season, and it was cool for us for you to abide by your contract so well. but also, like, I feel so sad for you having to keep that in. Yeah. Were you at least sharing it with your family?
No.
Really?
No, because when I called them after me and Peter broke up, they were like, what? Like, they could sense something was off about me, but they were very taken back. I mean, Peter's parents were taken back. Peter opened up to his parents about his emotions. I didn't, because I knew my parents would advise me to just walk away from it completely. And also, I think it was, like, a lot of pride. And, you know, I made this commitment to him, and, you know, I was excited. I told my grandparents and told my parents, and I didn't want, like, in my mind, it was always going to be, like, a one and done. Like, I had that concrete in my mind, like, nothing was ever going to change that. You know, I said yes, and we are together, and we're going to make it work. And I took, like, a lot of, like, I was proud of us, and I was proud of, you know, us as a couple. And I wasn't ever going to let any challenge or bump in the road take away from that. I thought we were supposed to be partners and, you know, challenge one another and take on life's greatest, you know, or biggest trials. So I was just kind of seeing this as a bump in the road, but really, in reality, we just were not compatible.
Your vulnerability there, like, I appreciate it, because I get it. And I think take away the show from this, like, a lot of people feel that way when it comes to breakups, is, like, they have pride. They've told their friends, they've told their family, they are excited, they know it's not for the best. You know, you add in the public element to this, and I can relate with you, is the embarrassment and the fear, in a sense, that you feel when you know it's ending, of what, like, how am I supposed to explain this? Like, how, especially coming from, you know, I am a believer in Jesus. That's, people that listen to the podcast do not, that's not a surprise to them. And it's not even that adds a burden to it. It's the public perception of the conservative church, like the one that, like, breaking up an engagement is such a huge deal. And you and I both have felt that. And I'm sorry that you've had to feel that, because it's hard and it's heavy. It's worked out for the best for me. I believe it will do the same for you. I just want to say thank you for sharing that, because I remember that time, and it was, I mean, Ashley and I started the podcast like the week afterwards, and I know Ashley could remember how heavy that felt on me during that time. So Ashley, go ahead. Sorry.
Do you guys think that you broke up because you were incompatible? You keep saying you were incompatible. How do you think you're incompatible? And do you think it was more that than it was his mind on someone else?
I think we're incompatible because we don't see love the same way. We didn't see an engagement the same way. That's where I think we're incompatible. Also, because I don't speak in half truths. He was speaking in half truths and never truly told me. You know, it's like Jason and Ari, like when they ended, you know, with the person that they chosen, you know, they both were like, I'm going back to this person. They gave them that respect to tell them to their face. I was never given that. That's why I think we're not compatible, because we communicate our emotions differently.
Now, so watching that back and you comparing it to Ari and Jason, I'm thinking he didn't say, I'm going to go after this person, because I don't even think he was sure if he was going to go back after Maddie. And now that we see all the Kelly stuff coming out, was he not trying to go after Maddie and thinking about somebody else?
Thinking about Kelly? Yeah. You are absolutely right. It's a different situation, and because it keeps getting messier. But I kind of go back to my part with him is done, and whatever he does moving forward is his own business. I'm sure we'll continue to see headlines made about him.
Did he ever? Yeah. Is that hard?
No, okay. It's not. And I'm being completely honest, because I've been through harder, and it's kind of what Ben was saying. The fear of us ending our engagement was the hardest part. You know, I've gone through like the terrible, like where you just feel like you've hit rock bottom. And so whatever he does now, it doesn't hurt, because I'm just so thankful I'm not living that with him, living that confusion all over the place. Don't really know kind of where your head and heart's at. Like, I'm just so thankful that my part of it is done. You know, I'm creating a happy, stable life for myself now, you know?
Did he ever say Madison's name in your breakup or the weeks leading up to your breakup?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seemed as if his intention was to get back with her, a la Ari and Jason.
Not exactly. Did it seem like that? I know, you know, him and Kelly had messaged each other back and forth on Instagram and stuff. I just always was taking, I don't know. I don't think he had like ill intent. I think he was just very, very confused with his emotions, whether that was with Kelly or Madison, wherever that was. I don't think he truly even knew where his heart was at.
Do you think that watching the show back made him think about Kelly again? Because truly, at the end of their relationship on the show, it seemed like they were completely incompatible, and that was not somebody who I thought he'd revisit.
Yeah. Watching back the season, probably he was reliving feelings for, you know, Kelly and Madison and whoever else. His point of view was, it's always hard to see an ex on TV. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. So I would try to be like, okay, we're in a very different circumstance. I guess I'll be understanding of that. But also, I kind of had to accept that, like, I deserve to be with someone who is unwavering on how they feel towards me, or like they know exactly what they want. They know exactly where their heart's at, and nothing's going to change that.
So you say that he was messaging Kelly, and then you also made this, you dropped a bomb on us when you said that he also had gone to Hannah B for some sort of closure. How did he go about that, if you're willing to tell us?
Oh, yeah. With him and Kelly, I think they were, I know that he told me that they had communicated through Instagram. I don't know where that exactly began. I was just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, when I'm with someone, I trust them, and he's a, you know, a good guy. I don't think I don't know when like more of their communication started. It probably started after, you know, after he was single again, or once he was single again. And then with Hannah Brown, he came to me saying that he needed closure with her. And I was just like, oh, crap. Like, how am I supposed to feel about this? You know, I thought, you know, when you're with someone, anything that's gone on in the past has, like you've had closure. And all I've ever wanted is to be with someone and they're so happy to be with me. It makes sense why it never worked out with anyone else.
Totally.
That's beautiful too. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we all hope, right? And I remember it's why, you know, we didn't watch Back My Season during that time because it was going to be too hard. It was too weird. I mean, it's just weird. Like, you don't, that's not natural at any level. There's nothing about that that's healthy to do. Hannah Ann, we have to get to parts 2 and 3, and then we have to talk about Barb. But before we do, let's take one break. We have Hannah Ann on the Almost Famous In-Depth podcast. We're going to take a break and come back to speak more about her story and where she's at today.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that, so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about using your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call
1-800-DISCOVER to get the service that you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to, hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns, ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hannah Ann, I told you before the break that there is three ways that I view this, knowing where we've been. And one of them is leading up to the breakup. Two is the breakup, which we've talked about quite a bit on this podcast so far. I do want to add one point, just maybe one commentary, is that, as Ashley mentioned earlier, the sympathy and empathy that you felt for Peter as that breakup was happening was beyond. I mean, it's unlike anything the world really ever feels and sees. Like, typically breakups are just super ugly because both sides get defensive and contentious, and you didn't. I just want to, before I get then to point three, is I just want to know, is from my side, and again, this is me giving you commentary on your relationship, which is just so weird, so wrong, but is any of that because, you know, this was after the show had started airing, you knew how much criticism Peter was already getting, you already knew how like chaotic his mind was and how confused he was, and you were just like thinking, hey, I love you still, I want what's best for you, but I know you just got to go figure some stuff out? Or what was your, why were you so caring to him in that moment?
Because I loved him, you know, I was in love with him, and all I ever asked in return was the truth. And I was in a sense relieved because, you know, we were together, we were engaged for 2 months, and it was just, the last month was just hell. I mean, it was just trying to figure out, you know, like when you're with someone, you know, something's up, something's, you can't quite put a finger on it, and we're still getting to know each other because we just got off the show. We're living apart. His words aren't necessarily aligning up with the vibe I'm getting. And so when he finally told me, you know, the truth of he can't give me his full heart, I was just, had a sense of relief and just knew in my heart that he didn't mean it in an unkind way. He was just very lost and confused. And I felt relieved in a sense that I can just kind of just pick up all the broken pieces and, you know, slowly move on.
Were you expecting production at that scene?
I looked like crap.
No, you didn't. You're beautiful always.
No. Okay. Okay. If you guys ever watch it back, you'll see that I had a pop blood vessels in my eye because I was crying so much leading up to that. My hair was all greasy. I had bags underneath my eyes. I looked like I had the breakup look going on. We knew that they were going to be filming. But before we got there, you know, we had a phone call that I think like his last text to me even was like that we got this, that this is going to be a difficult conversation, but we got this, that we were committed to each other. And I don't even think walking into, you know, the house that day, Peter maybe even knew we were going to break up. I think it just kind of surfaced naturally. And when you're kind of pressured into having a conversation and, you know, when he said he couldn't give me his full heart, that's when it's just like, you know, there's no turning back, you know, there's you don't repair that.
Yeah.
Especially once you're engaged, like that's a pretty heavy comment to make. Like I think about my life with Jessica now, and if I looked at her and said, I'm not going to be able to give you my full heart, like that would be really confusing for our relationship. In every way, like that would discount what we were committing to and planning on, which is a life together. So I can imagine that was heavy, and it makes sense that things ended during that time, but they did. I mean, that's the note we take from this, is they ended. And before I leave it to Ashley to kind of talk about life now with you, I want to just get a note on this, is the third piece of what I said was life afterwards. And I remember going around and telling my friends, the hardest part about a breakup publicly is that everybody picks a team. They're either team you, they're team the other person, or they're just not supportive at all. And so you hear people think it feels good to badmouth the person that hurt you in this, when it doesn't. You don't want that. And I know you don't want that for Peter. How has life been since the breakup, with the rumors that have been swirling? And then Ashley, I'll let you to speak about kind of how the impact of Peter's family has been on your life, because I know they were close with you.
It's been like so amazing, all of the support I've been given, just, you know, the encouragement. It all kind of came at once, because, you know, at first I was holding in like a very exciting secret that I was engaged. Couldn't even tell my best friend. And then afterwards we broke up, and I was holding in this horrible secret, you know, that I've been engaged and I've been betrayed. And I had felt like I had the support of my family and, you know, close friends that knew I was going through a difficult time. But I at the same time felt very isolated. So then overnight it turned into, I had, you know, dozens and thousands of people that are on my side, that are cheering me on. And it was the most incredible feeling. It literally happened overnight. So it was just, I went from feeling isolated and not being able to tell anyone about what I was going through to like everyone knowing and getting so much support. And it like truly, and it meant so much more, because I didn't have that before, you know? And so like every compliment or every encouraging word, like it means so much more to me.
We, you know, after this conversation today, it's very apparent why Barb would love you so much. And
yeah,
after,
I agree, Ash.
Yeah. And after seeing the way that you disrespected and loved her son, even through that breakup scene, we get it. Like, we get why Barb loves you now, but we also want to know more about like your lunch date, you know, with her, like when they had the families and you met the family for the first time, like you left her on cloud nine. Tell us more about what we didn't see there.
Yeah. So meeting Peter's family, like that was, and still is, like one of the best days I think I've ever had, just because I loved his family so much. I just felt like an instant bond. So when I walk in, when me and Barb lay eyes on each other for the first time, we both started crying.
Really?
And we just instantly connected. Like, we sit down on the couch and like we have like a short little conversation, and then his parents are like, oh my gosh, you guys are just like us. Like, and then we do a cheers of her saying like, I hope like you are a part of our family, something along those lines. And Peter's like, Barb told me she loved me before Peter did.
Wow.
That is fantastic. That is so good.
She was like, I just want to take you home with me to LA. Like, please come back. Please. I just want to take you home. Come on, Peter. And so, but Barb still gave, you know, she still, you know, gave me some tough love and, you know, asked me some difficult questions about, you know, my faith and my lifestyle and how we would fit together and if I love Peter or not. So we definitely had, you know, those difficult conversations, but, you know, I was just myself. And I think our common ground, or our common ground was, is that she loves Peter and I loved him and we were always going to look out for him. And I don't know, I think she just really appreciated that I just like accepted him for who he is and was. And, was always just going to try to be like the best partner that I could be for him.
How did you feel about Barb after seeing the way she treated Maddie on the live show?
Yeah, something must have happened, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we're missing a huge part of that story.
Yeah. Thankfully, I'm not a part of that story, but I know her well enough to know, you know, she's been nothing but kind to me. She, you know, I said multiple times I considered her a second mom, but something must have happened there, and I'm glad I'm out of it.
One of the things we always like to do, Hannah Ann, is kind of end these in-depth episodes with giving you this the time to speak to anybody out there listening. Because I know there's stuff that you felt, there's anxieties you felt, there's joys that you felt, there's things you want to celebrate with people, and there's things that have that you've had to push underneath the surface. We're just going to give you this time. I don't know, take as long as you want. To anybody out there listening going, hey, Hannah Ann, this has been awesome. I feel like I'm finally getting to know you, or maybe I've always loved you, and this just solidifies that love. Or maybe somebody out there is going, Hannah Ann, I don't understand you, and I need to know more. What would you say to anybody out there listening who has followed your journey for the last year, and who just wants to hear from you?
I think, you know, in the beginning of the season, a lot of people got like, you know, the wrong impression of me, but I'm really grateful for each person that has been able to like stay open-minded about me and still been, you know, and been able to like see my journey and, just take me for who I am. I mean, this journey, or this experience, I don't like to say journey, but this experience season, this season of life has just been, you know, I've experienced like the highs, you know, I've enjoyed the highs, but I also know, you know, I can survive like the lowest points that I feel like life can get. There's been times where like, I just don't even feel like getting up out of bed because I was just so hurt and broken and scared for all this to come out. So really like my word for anyone is we can all be bonded by one thing, and that is we all hurt. We all are going to suffer at some point in our lives, whether it's through a heartbreak or a hardship, but just know that, you know, if you are never truly alone, even in my situation, I couldn't open up to very many people about it. But for me, like my foundation was my faith and what truly brought me through it. And like how I felt like my heart was so damaged and just twisted and broken. Like I just ultimately just gave it to God because I knew that he was in control and that he would never like allow this to happen if he didn't have like a greater plan. And that brought like a lot of peace. And every day I had to choose peace. I had to choose joy. I had to choose letting it all go, you know, cause I had anger. I had sadness. I had so many emotions, and I just had to choose every single day not to allow that to get the best of me and to make me a better person.
Well, Hannah Ann, I appreciate you being here today. It's been awesome talking to you. It's been great to finally get to know you. You are a really just terrific interview, and not like, hey, you're the terrific interview because you put on a show. It's just a good interview. It's fun to talk to you. You remind me a lot of our interview with Hannah G that we did, I don't know how long ago, very similar. Ashley, it's now your time to do one of your favorite things on any in-depth episode. Take over.
Okay. Are you ready for a little rapid fire? We like to finish it out fun, and it's going to be a bachelor edition of rapid fire.
Fun.
Okay. Ready? So you can just use like two or three words. Have you been on a date since breaking up with Peter?
Yes.
Have you been on multiple dates with the same person since breaking up with Peter?
Yes.
Ooh, was this person a bachelor person?
No.
Okay. Is there somebody in Bachelor Nation that you think is cute and you'd be open to dating?
Not right now.
Okay.
I think everyone's great, but I would have to get to know them first. Okay. Before like deciding.
And you'd have to stop dating whoever it is that you've been dating before you could, right?
I'm not dating. I'm not exclusive. I'm not going to be exclusive for a long time. Okay. You have to answer that truthfully.
Going off of that, would you be open to Bachelor in Paradise?
Yes, I'd be open.
And who is the Bachelor alum who has reached out and been the most supportive?
The Bachelor alum.
Other than Hannah G.
Hannah G. There's been a few. Raven's been really great. Cassie, I've spoken with Cassie quite a bit.
They're both two really good ones. I really like both of them. And Hannah, first off, great question. Have you always been Hannah Ann, or is it because last season had so many Hannahs that you became Hannah Ann?
Yeah, well, I wanted, so like growing up, like in the South, there's obviously a lot of Hannahs. And plus in the South, it's like typical for like it to be a double name. Uh-huh. So I was named after both of my grandmothers. I had Grandma Hannah and then Grandma Carol Ann. And so I was a firstborn grandchild and my grandmothers were feuding over who I was going to be named after. So when I was younger, I was always called Hannah Ann. And then going on to the show, just with Hannah Brown and Hannah G, I was like, oh, well, let's switch it back to Hannah Ann.
Okay.
So,
okay. Perfect. Well, it was a good decision. A really good decision. Thank you so much for being here today. I've just loved getting to know you. And it just reaffirms for me that like we can't pretend like we know these people on TV when we're watching, because there's so much that we don't get to see in your storyline. And it's too bad we didn't get to know you on TV as well as we've gotten to know today.
Oh, thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to share more of myself and, you know, to listen to you guys. You guys have been awesome. It's been like very therapeutic. Aww. This is good therapy for me.
I agree. Well, that's what these in-depth episodes are all about. Hey, if we don't get to know you well enough through this show, then you're going to come on here. And Ashley and I just want to sit down to get to know you better. Hannah Ann, thanks again. Hannah Ann, I need you to participate in one last thing, okay? We end every episode of the Almost Famous podcast in the same way. So follow our lead, okay? You're going to be doing the same thing as us. Hey, listeners out there, you've been great. We appreciate you. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Hannah Ann on the In-Depth podcast. Once again, to reiterate what Ashley said, Hannah Ann was amazing. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
I've been Hannah Ann.
Later, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
And make sure you watch the upcoming show, Listen to Your Heart, which airs Monday, April 13th on ABC at 8, 7 Central. Ashley, will you be watching?
I will be watching, and you guys don't want FOMO, because we'll be watching. We'll be getting really invested in these couples and their performances. And if you're not watching, then you're not going to know what we're talking about every week.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. So if you've been looking for a love at first sight, it's closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive. Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Super special.
Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more about the adoption drive and to see full terms and conditions.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. We were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my host as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season two of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.